In a rustic living room, a man puts a log onto a fire. Behind him, a young woman cuddles a small baby.
Since the dawn of time, storytellers have enchanted audiences with their words. But there is an even rarer gift. There are those who, by reading out loud, can bring characters to life, out of books and into our world.
Go to sleep now. Shh. Go to sleep, baby.
Maybe this will work. Let me read to her.
She's too young.
No, what?
Why don't you read to me?
Once upon a time, there was a dear little girl who was loved by everyone who met her, but especially by her grandmother, who would have given her anything. Once, she gave her a little hood of a red velvet. What was that?
A red cloak floats in the wind outside.
What?
I don't know, nothing.
The red cloak floats down as the man continues reading.
Red velvet, that suited her so well that she refused to wear anything instead of it. So, she was called Little Red Riding Hood.
The cloak lands on the washing line.
Most of these silver tongues, as they are known, prefer to keep their skills a secret. But some do not even know that this gift is theirs until it is too late.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Inkheart. 12 years later, the father drives his teenage daughter down an autumnal road at the foot of snow-capped European mountains.
This is the right way.
It's the next turning on the left.
Sure, because I think we missed it.
Who's the driver?
Dad.
Who's the navigator?
Me.
Have I ever got us lost before?
No.
No.
Oh, hey, look. That's Sasquatch.
Hey! They're turning left, 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 left!
He turns the green VW camper left into a quiet tree-lined road. They arrive in a town. Snow is piled up against the sides of a cobbled street as they get out.
The Alpine Antiquarian bookshop should be at the end of the street and on the right-hand side of the square.
Good.
By the way, how come every bookshop we go to is 1,000 years old? Why can't we go to one of those that sells hot chocolate and books that are actually new?
What good would a bookbinder like me be in a new bookstore? I love old books. The marble
and
pages,
papers, the leather binding.
This isn't my kind of place.
Maybe you'll find it here, Mum.
Find what?
That book you're always looking for.
Not looking for anything particular.
What, you don't think I've noticed? You never leave a bookshop unless you've checked every corner, every shelf.
Don't we?
No, and you always come away disappointed. Sometimes your eyes are even a little red.
It's because old books are dusty.
Hey, look, Harriet the Spy.
I want to go inside. You want to come with me?
The secret garden.
I guess you can stay here.
Maggie scans the books on the market stool before turning and watching her father Mo wander off. He pauses outside an antiques bookshop. A leather satchel in his right hand, he walks through the open doorway into the dusty establishment and rings the bell on the desk.
Afternoon. I'm Mortimer Fulchart.
Ah,
the famous book doctor.
Well, you're just in time. Look at this poor patient.
Uh-oh.
Do you think we can save him?
I think the prognosis is good.
Excellent.
Quite the collection you have.
Yes. If you'd like to have a look around, be my guest.
Thank you.
Mo heads deeper into the shop. He looks at the rows of old books lining the shelves. As he lightly touches a book spine, whispering voices start to echo around him. He touches book spines until he finds a purple and white paperback book. The title is Inkheart by the author Fenoglio. Mo scans quickly through the pages, stopping at a picture of a weasel teeth bared. Maggie sits with a sandwich as a ferret appears in front of her. She looks round before breaking off some bread to feed the creature. Mo continues looking in the book. He views other pictures, this time of a fire juggler with straggly blonde hair.
Dustpicker.
Outside, the ferret nips at Maggie's outstretched hand.
He doesn't like to be tickled. And you should be more careful. His name's Gwyn, and I know he looks charming. But you know what they say about books and covers.
Gwyn runs up the arm of the straggly blonde-haired man and into his knapsack.
Yeah, I do. And I also know what they say about talking to strangers, excuse me.
But I'm no stranger, Maggie. You won't remember me, we only met once and you were quite small. But I'm no stranger.
Mo exits the shop, slowing as he sees Dustfinger.
Hello, Silver Tongue. I was just having a talk with your daughter.
Maggie, go away from me in the van. It's all right, it's just an old friend.
Dad!
Do it now!
She leaves the two men staring at one another.
Let's you and me go for a little walk.
Maggie sits impatiently in the camper. She checks her watch and leans back, sighing. Dustfinger walks Mo down a quiet snowy alley, his hands on Mo's shoulder.
I've been looking for you. I've been one step behind you for years. Waiting for you to find what it is you've been searching for.
Just tell me what you want.
I want you to put right the wrong you did 9 years ago. And I'm here to warn you. Capricorn knows where you stay. His men are there now waiting for you and your daughter to come home. He wants you to read for him.
Well, he's out of luck. I don't read aloud anymore.
If he finds you, you really think you'll have a choice?
Dustfinger rubs his hands from the cold and blows on them. A red glow emanates from his cupped palms. Maggie steps out of the camper and sets off at a run down the street.
I could help you stay hidden, but I won't. Not unless you promise to send me home. I've been here too long. Send me home, Silvertongue. Read to me.
I'm sorry, I can't help you. It's too dangerous. It's uncontrollable.
Well, if you won't help me, I'll find someone who can. Just give me the book.
What book? I don't have the book.
You don't have the book?
Yeah. I searched everywhere. I don't have it.
What's in the bag? Did you finally find one? That's funny, isn't it? Strange, my turning up here right at that very moment. You know, there are times in life when the stars just simply align.
Not one at a time!
Mo pushes Dustfinger into the snow. Gwyn jumps at him. Mo deflects the attack and runs off in the maze of alleys. Maggie leaves her eavesdropping spot and chases after her father. Gwyn follows Mo, who turns left and right through the alleys, before bumping into Maggie.
Maggie!
What's happening?
I told you to stay in the van! Run!
Darkness falls on the town as they reach the green camper.
Get in! Get in!
Leaving Dustfinger behind, Mo looks into his rearview mirror. Maggie grabs Mo's satchel, opening the straps.
What are you doing? No, leave it alone.
No, I want to see the book.
You're not even allowed to touch that book, you understand?
No, I don't understand. I don't understand at all. What is that book, and why did the freaky man with the scars want it, and why did he call you Silvertongue?
I can't tell you.
You have to tell me.
No, I have to protect you and your mother.
My mother? What has this got to do with my mother?
Maggie, please, just...
I'm scared,
Maggie. Maggie, I'm gonna take care of you. I always have, and I always will.
At least tell me where we're going.
We're going to Italy. You have a great aunt there. It's very important that we get there. Okay? Please, Maggie. No more questions?
They drive through a tunnel. Light at the end flashes brightly. The camper turns a sharp corner on a twisty road set high into the mountains. A lake in the distance shimmers in the morning sunlight. They arrive at an old house set at the shore of the lake. A sign on the gate says, "Don't even think about wasting my time. Just go away." Mo opens the iron gate, which squeals on its hinges, and steps up to the front door. He rings the bell as Maggie gazes round the grounds of the grand-looking house.
she's friendly, this great aunt of mine.
You'll like her.
Will you please stop ringing that damn bell?
After a while, she's kind of an acquired taste.
Right.
What?
Eleanor?
Well, for the love of Thomas Hardy.
I'm so glad you finally made your way back here, Mortimer. You know, my poor books are in a terrible state of disrepair.
Oh, don't worry about that. I'll take care of it.
Oh, don't play with your food, child. You're not a toddler. Look at her. She's as thin as a soap bubble. Oh, she so reminds me of her mother. And not just when she opens her mouth, if she ever does. Oh, speaking of Lisa...
No, we haven't heard from her, if that's what you mean.
Oh, well, no matter. You know, I grew up without a mother. Didn't do me any damage whatsoever. No, my mother just suddenly dashed off on safari one day and never came back. It's what the women in our family seem to do. They just go off on adventures. Not me. I prefer to stay where I am. But your mother... Well, she wanted the real thing.
My mum wanted me. And then one day she was gone, without explanation. Is that what you call an adventure?
No, that's what I call abandonment.
Maggie gets up and leaves, glowering at Eleanor.
Well done, Eleanor.
You know it's the truth.
Mum did not abandon us.
No, she didn't.
Well, then what really happened to her? Look at me, I'm not a child anymore. I'm all grown up.
Almost.
I'm grown up enough to know the most important thing that's ever happened to me. Don't you think I've realised why I'm not in regular school like other kids? And why we're always travelling around from place to place? All these years you've been looking for Mum. And that book, but I just don't understand how those two things...
Maggie.
You have to tell me something.
They sit together on a white bench and stare out over the lake.
I write about her sometimes.
You do?
Yeah, I make up stories about how
you
she and I...
You make up stories? Maggie, you know I don't want you doing that.
But I have to. I feel like the words bring her back to me.
Yeah. The written word. It's a powerful thing. You have to be careful with it.
Do you think we'll ever see her again?
I hope we do, Maggie. I hope we do.
Maggie looks up at her father, then leans her head onto his shoulder. He kisses the top of her head. Inside Eleanor's house, Maggie walks along a dark corridor lit only by the meagre sunlight from the windows. She walks past a door, then pauses. She goes back to the door, cautiously looking around before trying the handle. The room is filled with old books, in cases around the walls and high on shelves in the middle. A desk is positioned underneath a chandelier with the books piled high on it. Maggie runs her hand over the books. She is drawn to the centre of the room, where a glass case sits. An ancient illustrated manuscript lies open inside. Maggie stares wondrously down at the book before leaning on the top of the glass. With a bang, the library door flies open and Eleanor bursts in.
Child, this place is not for children. I thought I made that clear. Come on, out.
I'm sorry, I was just looking for a book to read.
Is that a nose print? Do you have any idea how valuable this manuscript is?
Yes, I know.
Oh, you know, do you?
It's Persian, isn't it? I can tell from the illuminations, the pinks and the blues and the gold pattern background. Maybe from the late 12th century or so?
Goodness me, what a little know-it-all.
It's beautiful.
Yes, it is, isn't it? But I just adore everything Persian.
You've been to Persia, then?
Yes, 100 times, along with St. Petersburg, Paris, Middle Earth, distant planets, and Shangri-La. And I never had to leave this room. Books are adventure. They contain murder and mayhem and passion. They love anyone who opens them.
If I promise not to touch anything, could I maybe just sit and read in here for a while?
That was the window seat where she used to curl up and read.
She?
Your mother. Your father used to read to her here. This was hers. If
I find so much as a bookmark out of place, I shall lock this room up and you'll never see the inside of it again. That I can promise you.
Eleanor leaves Maggie in the library, clutching the copy of The Wizard of Oz that her mother owned. Maggie walks over to the window seat, curls up against some cushions and begins reading the book. She is still at the window seat after dark. Rain patters against the window pane as Maggie sits engrossed in the book. She looks up as she hears soft whispering coming from the books in the library. Maggie clutches the book to her chest and starts as lightning illuminates the dark room. On the lawn outside, Gwyn chatters excitedly. He scampers through the wet grass towards Dustfinger, who picks him up and shelters him from the rain in his chest pocket. Inside the house, Mo sits at a desk in a study repairing a book by candlelight. His satchel lies open with tools strapped to the side. He reaches inside and fishes out a copy of Inkheart. Lightning flashes as Maggie walks around the library, following the pattern of whispering voices. French windows are blown open by the wind. As Mo bends to pick up a broken pitcher, the fireplace lights and Dustfinger appears in the room.
I tried to warn you. I gave you every opportunity to help me, but you refused. All you had to do was read me back. You could have kept the book. But you had to run. So I turned to Capricorn.
What?
He's promised to help me.
What have you done?
Mo hears the sound of smashing glass. In the library, Maggie hides from a figure outside, shining a torch into the room. Walking backwards, she turns alarmed as another man leers at her through the window.
There are men outside! They're trying to break into the house!
Mo races down the corridor. In the study, Dustfinger searches through Mo's belongings for the copy of Inkheart. Mo sprints up the library door and bursts into the room.
Maggie!
Men ransack the library, one with red hair and words tattooed on his face, snarls at Mo.
Silver tongue.
Bastard!
Did you miss me?
Oh, you illiterate cretin!
Hold him!
These are masterpieces you're destroying! Masterpieces, you ignorant halfway!
Eleanor runs up and punches the red-haired villain.
No! I swear I'll kill every last one of you! You know I can do it, it would only take a few words!
Oh, we won't have to worry about your words if we cut out your tongue. Hey,
you remember my calling card, don't you?
Hey? One, two, three!
If that doesn't work, it's always your daughter.
Dustfinger grabs Basta, his hands aflame.
Get off me!
No one gets her.
The fire!
Isn't that what we agreed?
Yes, we agreed!
He slowly lets go.
Evil spirits, I repel thee! Evil spirits, I repel thee!
Dad!
I repel thee!
Right. Get him, Fanny.
You're not taking them too.
Capricorn's orders.
After all, we are going to require a little leverage. To make Daddy read.
Make it! Don't drag my daughter into this. For God's sake, she's just a child. No, don't. No. My only hope of finding my wife.
My only hope of going home.
No.
What is it, Mo? When are you going to tell me what is going on?
Has your father ever read you a bedtime story, Maggie? You might want to ask him why that is.
I'll take that!
Basta snatches Inkheart off Dustfinger. Mo fights himself free, only to be knocked out from behind.
No! Oh, my books! No!
Have a look, man. Hurry up.
Eleanor's books burn in a pyre. Maggie sees the copy of The Wizard of Oz near the top.
Come on!
Dustfinger reaches into the fire for the book. He wipes it clean and offers it to Maggie, who glares angrily before being led away. Dejected, Dustfinger places the book inside his jacket and follows the thugs to the truck. The truck drives through the Italian mountains. In the back, Mo comes too, his head on Maggie's lap.
Maggie.
Eleanor adjusts her headscarf. The red-haired thug, Corkru and Fulvio, a thug with an eye patch, sit guarding the prisoners. The truck winds through the mountain roads. It crosses a small stone bridge. Up ahead, a castle sits on a mountainous ridge. The prisoners look up in awe at the structure. Castle guards watch the approaching vehicles and radio in. Armed guards dressed in black patrol the castle walls. Barbed wire is fitted to the turrets. The rusty old truck makes its way through the small alleys inside the castle walls. Mo and Maggie peer out from the back, noticing the writing on the faces of each guard they pass. The truck stops and the back is opened.
Oh, how lovely.
After you.
Come on out!
Oh!
They're led into the stables. Maggie peers inside a wooden enclosure. A reptilian eye blinks back.
It's ticking.
Red-eyed wolves in another enclosure startle Eleanor. Up ahead is a white unicorn with writing along its side. Maggie spots a collection of winged monkeys in a pen together. One monkey leaps at Maggie, hitting the wooden planks holding it in. Mo gathers her in close.
What is this place?
Lono,
welcome to our humble abode.
Enjoy your stay.
No, I will not share this filthy hole with all those creatures!
They're roughly shoved into a pen.
What are we doing here, Mortimer? Where do these monsters come from?
Books. They came out of books.
What are you talking about? Mortimer, be quick, be clear, or I swear I'll disinherit you.
Came out of books? What do you mean?
Maggie? This is the story you have been waiting to hear.
Eleanor?
You were, away at a book fair. And we were house-sitting for you, me. Maggie. Your mom. And that night we were in the library. So I opened a copy of the book we just bought. Inkheart.
Inkheart?
It's a good read. Full of adventure and magic. Creature called the Shadow. Terrifying. I read several chapters aloud and nothing happened. And they appeared out of nowhere. From the medieval world of the book. At first it was Capricorn. A thuggish bandit working for an evil duke.
Flashback. Capricorn stares at a picture of himself in the book, his sword pointed at Mo.
Tempasta, his knife-wielding sidekick. And a dustfinger. Traveling fire juggler. His magical powers.
My voice brought them out.
Your voice brought them out of the book?
And her mother went in. That's how it works.
Capricorn is poised to stab Maggie.
Dustfinger saved us from Capricorn that night. It was only then that I realized. Risa, your mom. She was gone. They'd come out of the book. And she went into it.
In the past, Mo looks around holding his wife's wedding ring.
And that, Maggie, was the last time that I read to you. And the night we lost your mother.
Mortimer, all these years you've allowed me to think the worst of Risa. Why didn't you tell us?
Would you have believed me?
You want to read Mum back out of the book? That's why you've been searching for Inkheart all these years. If she's alive, you mean? You say she's trapped in that book, but how do you know? Who's to say she even got there? And if she did, how could she survive for 9 years? If the monsters are anything like those, or worse, how do you know where she is? Or if she's alive, even? How do you know?
Dusk. Mo, Eleanor, and Maggie are led through the castle streets.
It's just like the illustration in the book.
Kind of scary.
It's hideous. The man's got no taste whatsoever.
Look, will you stop pushing me?
Maggie, just pretend that you're in a book. Children always escape in books.
No, they don't. Remember the little match girl? They found her in an alley, frozen to death.
Flaming torches along the wall illuminate their way. Dustfinger and Capricorn are in the room ahead.
Ah! Come in! We saved you the good seats.
Capricorn.
Oh! I told you to stop that!
Please. You got old.
You got a castle.
Indeed I did.
And a haircut.
A lovely castle in a secluded part of the country, far from prying eyes. Oh, yes, I've adjusted rather well to your world. Don't you think? Ah, this must be your daughter. So much life to live. You, however, are a noisy old bag. You make a racket without opening your mouth.
You barbaric piece of pulp fiction! Your malice is matched by your stupidity. I don't know how things are in that third-rate novel of yours, but where I come from, one does not go around ravaging libraries. My life's work destroyed by a bunch of unread, solipsistic thugs!
I have no patience for old women with big mouths.
Thugs gag Eleanor.
You know my reader, Darius. Why don't we show our guests what I have been up against? Read that.
But you said I wouldn't have to read once he got here.
Yes, well, I lied, didn't I, when I said that? Read the book.
Rapunzel had splendid long hair. It was as fine as spun gold. And when she heard...
A flicker in the air. A long blonde-haired girl appears. She runs frightened down the corridor. Capricorn's thugs drag her into the room.
You see? Look at the writing on her face. She's only been half run out of the book. Take her to the dungeon.
No!
And give her a haircut.
I'm not going to read out loud if that's what you're intending. Not with them in the room.
Bring the girl up, please.
You take your...
Mo strikes a guard. Dozens raise their guns and point them at Mo. Bastard draws his knife and slowly brings Maggie over to Capricorn.
Here's how this is going to work. You're going to do exactly what I tell you to do, or I'll kill the old lady and lock your daughter up in the dungeon for all eternity. Is that clear?
Mo reluctantly nods.
Great. Well, let's get things started, shall we? This is a great book, filled with riches.
Darius hands Mo an open book.
I'm reading out treasure.
For now, yes, someone has to pay for the repairs around here and all the locals have been bled dry.
I'm warning you. I have no control over what comes and goes. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, this should be fun then. Let's give it a whirl.
Cassim gazed upon the treasures within the cave. Mounds of gold and silver were heaped from floor to ceiling. Piles of silks and sacks of jewels. Cassim gathered all the treasure he could carry, only to find the door of the cave sealed shut. And by the will of Allah, he'd forgotten the password.
He cried out, "Open, Barley!"
But the door did not budge. Cassim named every grain of wheat he could think of.
Open buckwheat! Open millet!
But still, the door would not open. Then came the sound of approaching hooves.
Sand.
Basta and Fulvio share a look as sand forms around the legs of Capricorn's throne.
Cassim
ran to hide, but Trish, sending coins spilling in every direction. Then came the muffled call of, "Open Sesame!" And the cave opened to reveal
a most unpleasant collection of bandits.
Gold coins rain down into the chamber, startling the occupants. Capricorn's guards laugh and clap their hands as the treasure continues to fall. Dustfinger stares fearfully at Mo. Meggie looks around the room in disbelief. A bag of coins drops onto the floor. Capricorn stands up and scoops a handful of coins out of the bag and holds them up, letting them fall out of his palm. Farad from the book appears, falling heavily onto the floor.
Look! What did I tell you?
Put that boy in the stable and feed him to the ticking crocodile.
But if he came out, who went in?
Fulvio, now in the story, is surrounded by thieves with swords.
Help.
It's my turn now. It's my turn now. Just like you promised.
Your turn. You mean this?
Capricorn holds up Inkheart.
It's an incredibly rare book, this. We've been tracking them down for years.
I can't send you back. I don't know how to do that.
Send us back? Why would we ever want to go back when your world is so accommodating with your telephones and your guns and...
What's that sticky stuff called?
Duct tape. Yes, duct tape. I love duct tape. Besides, what was I in Inkheart? The Adderhead's henchman, living in the woods with all those filthy beasts. But look at me now. I've got a castle. I'll never go back. None of us ever will. To make sure of that, I'm going to do what I always do when someone digs up a copy of this tedious book.
You promised I'd be sent home.
Yes, I know. I lied when I said that. I mean, I'm a liar. I lie all the time. Lie, lie, lie. After all these years, you'd think he would have figured it out by now.
He tosses the book into the fire.
No! Get it out! No!
Why did you do that every single time? It's pathetic, honestly. Go and get your burns tended to, otherwise I'll be forced to cancel our weekly juggle night. And you know how much I look forward to juggle night. Lock him up.
Mo and the others are escorted away as Dustfinger dejectedly watches the book burn. Darius is in the stable.
Hey, Darius, don't forget to feed the crocodile, will ya? Hey.
Eleanor shrinks back alarmed as a large humanoid figure with horns lunges forward chained to the wall.
No. He didn't mean it. He's just hungry. It's not his fault.
He's a minotaur. He can barely walk thanks to Darius and his breathing.
A lot of things are down to this jackass. We came out with half the book tattooed across our face and look what he did to my eye.
Yeah, and if you think that's bad, have a look at the state of my nose.
Disgusting.
Yeah, you're right. So... you can imagine how pleased we are that you're here.
Delighted. Because now, we got someone who can really read.
A young woman in a red dress tries to pick the lock on her wrist chains with a knife. Hearing the door, she goes back to scrubbing the kitchen floor, hiding the knife in her sleeve. Dustfinger enters the kitchen.
I hurt myself. Again. I don't understand. It ain't cut my hands. They never burn. But here, fire has no sense of humor.
The woman ices his hands in a bowl. The knife slips out. She secretes it away and gestures for him to be silent.
You're trying to escape again? Reason. Give up. We're not going anywhere.
For a moment, I held Inkheart in my hands. But it's ashes now. And I shall never go home. But you still have hope. When Darius read you out of Inkworld, he left your voice behind in that book. But if you could talk, would you tell me your story? Would you? No, you wouldn't. It's because of how I'm written, isn't it? You think me weak and deceitful. It's not all I am. Not all of me.
Dustfinger falls asleep in a chair as a woman prepares bandages. Morning. Farad sits talking to himself in the stables as the others look on.
Just a dream. It's just a dream. It's just a dream.
Are you all right? What's your name?
My name is Farid.
Are you one of the 40 thieves?
Stop talking to me. Don't you know it's bad luck to speak in a dream? You stupid girl. You talk in a dream. You'll never find your way back.
Stupid. You're the one who thinks you're in a dream. I was just trying to be nice. Go back to your muttering and see if I care.
It's just a dream. Just a dream.
Dustfinger dreams. He sees his wife and children in a castle courtyard.
Come home. Please, come home.
He wakes to find the woman unbandaging his hands.
Good morning. Thank you. How can I ever repay you?
She holds up her chains.
Risa, even if I could find you a key, where would you go?
Risa unwraps her drawing, showing it to Dustfinger. It's of Mo reading to his daughter.
This is your family?
She indicates a wedding ring missing from her finger.
This is your husband? Your daughter?
She writes a note saying, "Have you seen my family?" and shows it to Dustfinger.
I'm going to get you out of these chains, and then you're going home.
She goes to follow him, but is held back by her chains. Opening a door, Dustfinger looks inside and lifts up Gwyn.
I'll meet you at the stables.
He lures the ferret to the floor and creeps away. Gwyn scurries up to Mortola, Capricorn's mother, who sits asleep. He runs over the haggard woman's neck and grabs hold of the key nestled in her chest. Mortola barely stirs. In the kitchen, Gwyn trots over the tables of food, dropping the key on Reese's chopping board. She tries the key in the lock on her chain. Dustfinger makes his way over to the stables. He slows to avoid suspicion and rubs the unicorn's face as he passes.
I know I can get Reese out of the book. Maybe send Capricorn back in. We just have to find another copy.
Well, it only took you 9 years to find the last one.
I bet the author has a copy. If he's alive, I bet he'd have one. Someone must know where he lives.
Oh, great. Now we're going to have to try and escape, aren't we?
Either that or get fed to the ticking crocodile next door.
Someone has to stop him.
Dustfinger unlocks the enclosure door and steps inside.
Before you say anything, let me tell you, I'm here to save your necks.
After putting them on the chopping block in the first place.
Listen,
You want your wife back as much as I want to go home to my family. If you think there's another copy of Inkheart out there, fine, let's find it together.
And how do you intend that we escape?
He holds up The Wizard of Oz.
Page 14. The Mighty Storm.
From the far north, they heard a low wail of the wind, and Uncle Henry and Dorothy could see where the long grass bowed in waves before the coming storm. There's a cyclone coming in. I'll go after the staff. Suddenly, Uncle Henry stood up.
Risa flees the guards.
He ran toward the sheds where the cows and the horses were kept. Aunt Em dropped her work and came to the door. One glance told her of the danger close at hand. Quickly, Dorothy, she screamed. Run for the cellar. Come on! A strange thing then happened. The house whirled around two or three times and rose slowly through the air. Dorothy felt as if she were going up in a balloon.
Risa falls through floorboards in an old house.
That should do it!
A tornado forms above the castle as they escape.
Let's get out of there!
Guards race down the alleys as Mo and the others sidle around a corner up a cobbled path. The twister spins wildly above the castle. In the cellar below the old house, Risa clutches her neck in pain, noticing a small grate with bars above her. She stands up and climbs the rocky wall. Clutching hold of the two bars, she looks out into the courtyard. Mo leads the others out into the streets. A guard chases behind. Mo dodges flying debris which smashes into the side of the building, burying the guard behind them. They all duck behind a low wall. The devastating wind sends guards head over heels down the road. Risa spots Dustfinger and Mo shielded from the wind. With tears in her eyes, she silently calls out to Mo. With their bodies hunched over against the storm, the party move out. They run past the low grate where Risa stretches an arm out unnoticed. A jeep carrying a guard pulls up, stopping the party in their tracks. They watch as the force of the storm lifts the jeep into the air. The guards are snatched from the vehicle into the twister. Mo cries out a warning as a building behind them collapses. They scatter as the jeep comes crashing down. Dustfinger is thrown onto the floor in front of the grate. Risa reaches out begging for him to pull her out of the cellar. He looks from Risa to the others escaping and slowly scrambles away from Mo's wife. She silently begs him to stop, her hand outstretched.
The prisoners! They're escaping!
Basta looks up at the tornado, which has reached a terrifying force. The party reach the prison truck and clamber inside.
Run! Run! Get it!
Gwyn scampers through the streets towards the truck.
Come on! Okay, go!
Inside the twister, the farmhouse from the Wizard of Oz spins, wooden planks flying off its body. The truck bounces down the cobbled streets and out of the castle, into the dense woodland surrounding the structure. They smash through the guard posts and knock down a sign pointing to Topeka, Kansas. The twister dissipates, leaving the house sailing through the air. It passes overhead and lands with a crash behind them. In Kansas, a guard lands with a crunch on the ploughed soil next to the house foundations. A farmer looks up disinterested at the disturbance. The truck drives through the forest at night.
Still think you're dreaming?
What else could it be?
Fly!
Or is it the night flying past us?
He lives in Alassio.
Which way is that?
South.
South? Can't you be more precise?
They drive on through the night. The sun rises over the Mediterranean. By the beach, Mo hands out danishes and coffees. Farid marvels at Vespa mopeds passing by.
Beats a camel.
Farid! Oh, hooligan. Farid, some clothes for you. You'll freeze to death otherwise.
Yes, apparently this is the place. The man in the fishmonger says he lives in an apartment overlooking the square.
Good, great.
No, I'm not coming.
What do you mean you're not coming? You have to come, otherwise you won't believe me.
Oh, I don't know. You can be pretty persuasive.
Huh?
You taught me out of a book.
I don't understand. The book is right here within our grasp.
You're afraid? You've never actually read Inkheart, have you?
What's there to read? I lived it. Except for the end, and I've got no interest in that.
Well, why not?
Do you know the end of your story, Maggie? No. And I suspect you wouldn't want to. It would be like turning to the last page of a mystery. Where's the fun in that?
Well, I think I know the end of my story.
Hmm?
I'm going home.
Why?
I'm sorry, it's just all too real for me. I prefer a story that has the good sense to stay on the page where it belongs. You know, I have to get back to my poor desecrated books. I want to mend them. I want to put them in order.
I'll do that.
Here's some money for you.
I don't...
You see, I've already bought my ticket. Goodbye. Good luck. Ellen.
Better go.
Don't catch cold.
Bye, then.
Mo and Maggie set off, leaving Dustfinger and Fareed by the beach.
Yeah, this must be it. That's it.
They pull the doorbell and an old man with glasses steps out.
Signor Finoglio.
Yes?
Sir, my name is Mortimer Fulchart.
I'm Maggie.
My daughter.
I want to be a writer too.
You do?
Yes, well, give me something to write with, but be quick about it. I've got a cake in the oven. Well, don't just stand there like you've been taxidermied. If you want an autograph, give me a pen.
Oh, no, we don't want an autograph.
You don't want an autograph?
No.
And what in the name of Chaucer's beard are you doing ringing my bell?
Well,
Dust fingers in the piazza and we just escaped from Capricorn's village. And you're not even going to believe what Basta tried to do.
What?
Farrow checks himself out in the shop window wearing the clothes Eleanor bought him. He turns to Dustfinger, who looks away uninterested. Two jugglers on stilts attract his attention. Beneath them, a man swings fireballs on chains, another breathes fire. Dustfinger remembers his time in court in the story of Inkheart. He stands among performers swinging two flaming swords with great speed. His wife and children look on.
Come home.
Story, I'll give you that. Silver tongues is a wonderful concept. I wish I'd thought of it, but it's too absurd to take seriously. I know my characters are so believable that they seem to leap off the page, but it's simply not possible.
They turn a corner to the town square. Dustfinger swings the flaming swords, his chest bared. A crowd gather transfixed.
Exactly as I imagined it.
Next, he rubs his hands and blows a huge plume of flame out into the sky. The crowd applaud.
This must be what it feels like to give birth.
Wait, no, where are you going? He doesn't want to meet.
Of course he does. I'm practically his father.
What was that at the end?
It's called dragon's breath.
You can teach it to me?
I'm sure that this must be very exciting for you to meet your characters. But the whole purpose that we came here was to find a way to get him back in the book.
Your father's just given me an idea for a character. A master thief who steals things the way a blue jay swipes shiny objects off windowsills.
I am not trying to steal your characters.
Snatch them out of my book and now you're trying to keep them from me. That, my friend, is pure thievery.
I'm just trying to get my wife back.
Dustfinger.
I tried to stop him.
So wonderful to meet you. The scars are perfect, as hideous as I imagined.
I told you, he's afraid.
Oh, not me, I hope.
He's afraid what happens at the end of the book?
What do you mean, because he dies?
Oh, no.
Oh, I see. Right, I'm sorry.
He dies in the end?
Well, I had to make the story exciting. That's my job. They can't all have happy endings. Life doesn't always, after all.
How's it happen?
You're killed by one of Capricorn's men. While trying to save Gwyn. It's a very touching death scene. I cried when I wrote it.
You think I care what you wrote? You don't control my fate. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I'm not just some character.
character in your book and you. You are not my god. Now listen, old man. Do you have a copy of the book or don't you? Because I would like to go home now, please.
The problem is it's been out of print for decades. Plus, the original print run was quite small. And there was the fire in the warehouse. And eventually the publishers went out of business.
This is going to take forever.
Farid messes around with some binoculars.
Stop it! This is no time to act foolishly. Stop it!
You're as sour as goat's urine.
Thanks. And I don't want to know how you know that.
Look around. This garden is paradise. No slave drivers. No sandstorms. No fleas.
No peace and quiet.
No, it's not that one either. I did hold on to a few copies. I loaned them to a book exhibition in Genoa a few years ago and they were stolen. I suppose Capricorn was behind the theft. At the time, I assumed it was just bad luck. Ah, here we are.
What is it?
The original manuscript. Look at that, typewritten. Can you imagine? Grabbies. Through all these years, I still remember the characters. The water nymphs in the Wayless Wood. Castles of Ombra. The Black Prince. Motley Folk. And of course you, Dustfinger. As well as the villains. The Adderhead, Capricorn, and the Fire Racers. And worst of all, the Shadow.
Villagers cower as the sky turns dark above them. A hand passes over a burning village.
Wonderful book, I must say. Give anything to go into it myself.
Well, get in line, old man.
I've got page 209 to 447. What do you got?
I have the rest.
I won't need that.
Now you can read me back, right?
Well, I'll try to, but that's only after I've read my wife out, and she's all right. It's the only way I'm going to do it.
We might have a problem.
What are you talking about?
You can't read around.
Why?
Because she's not in the book.
I've seen her. She's not actually in the book anymore. She's
in Capricorn's village. Darius read her out.
She's alive?
We were just there and you didn't tell me.
We needed the book.
We didn't need the book. I needed the book.
And Mom was there and you didn't tell us?
Listen, don't look at me like that, because if your dad knew the truth, he would never have come and helped me get the book, and I need the book.
Selfish, repugnant,
weak character.
Blame him. He wrote me that way.
I disagree.
You tell me how to find her.
Not until you promise to read me back in a book.
You tell me how to find my wife.
I miss my family, too.
They stare at each other, Mo gripping Dustfinger's jacket. He lets go.
All right.
Promise.
Promise.
I want to help save Mum too. Take me with you.
You know I can't do that.
But I can help.
You can help by staying here and being safe. That's what you can do.
You don't know what I can do. And neither do I.
Thank you, please.
She hugs her father, who embraces her back. Finolio pulls up in an open-top car and steps out. Dustfinger and Mo get in.
Thank you very much. Take care, Maggie.
Yes.
And Farid as well.
What?
Take care of Farid as well.
Of course. Why can't I come too? It's my car.
Sweetheart.
Just bring her back.
I will.
Reduced to babysitting. Marvellous.
Eleanor waits on the station platform as the train pulls in. She watches a family with a young daughter climb on board.
Alright, we missed the train.
How long will it take us to get there?
She stands alone on the platform, lost in thought as the train pulls away. Nighttime. Fenelio sleeps in his chair as a bored Meggie spins a magnifier around a lit candle. Startled, she sits up alert. She leaves Fenelio snoring and crosses over to her bedroom. Inside, whispering seems to come from a book on the dresser. It's her mother's copy of The Wizard of Oz. She opens the book and an evil cackle resonates round the room, causing her to drop the book. Meggie sits on the bed, reading from the book.
From the far north, they heard a low wail of the wind, and Uncle Henry and Dorothy could see where the long grass bowed in waves before the coming storm.
A wind blows into the room, disturbing the birdcage hanging down.
It was Toto that made Dorothy laugh. He was a little black dog with long silky hair and small black eyes that twinkled merrily on either side of his funny wee nose.
A small black dog appears.
Toto? Toto, don't be scared. You're just not in Kansas anymore. Oh, Toto! Toto, come out from under there. You're going to get me in trouble.
It's me. Open the door.
Just a minute. And not another sound. I mean it.
I'm sorry, I had no choice. But look, it's Basta. And, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid all the henchmen blend into one, even to me.
Hello, Princess. Where's your father?
I told them he'd gone back, but they don't believe me.
You told them?
He held a knife to my throat. Isn't he awful? And they don't believe I'm the author.
Tell us where Silvertongue is, before I kill you both.
Toto, no!
Toto? Oh, my goodness! She's inherited her father's gift!
Another silver tongue. All Capricorn will be pleased.
Basta grabs Toto.
Bring them both.
The silver convertible drives through the woods towards Capricorn's castle.
So if Darius read her out of the book...
Oh, no, no, no. She's fun. Mostly.
Mostly?
She's got no voice.
What?
He read her out last spring and... She has no voice. But apart from that, she's fine. Pull over.
For what?
Just pull over.
Oh, that makes sense. You speaking weasel.
Dustfinger walks round to the car boot.
I thought I told you to stay with the old man.
But he's mean.
Not as mean as Capricorn.
He doesn't scare me. I was raised by murderers and thieves.
Well, he should scare you. I should make you walk back.
I don't need to follow you.
Get in.
And then after all this, you can teach me dragon's breath.
Just get in the car.
Hello, Mr. Fenelio.
Eleanor walks through Fenelio's apartment. Finding it empty, she goes into the bedroom and picks up the copy of The Wizard of Oz. Her face changes from the look of fear to one of focus. Mo leads the others over the stone bridge near the castle. Under shelter, he scopes out the castle with his binoculars.
These guys are just circling the perimeter. We should move in now.
When we get to the maid's quarters, Reese's room is the third door on the right, when we go in the back.
I'll go in the back. You guys cover me.
All right, this is our way in. Now listen, this is gonna be dangerous, so you need to keep up. You gotta move quickly.
Dustfinger braces himself against the wall for Fareed. Instead, the young boy scales the walls by quickly shimmying up a drainpipe.
After you.
Fareed ducks down low, crossing over the tiled roof. Mo climbs up and loses his grip. Fareed offers his hand.
Shall we rest?
That's okay. Just keep moving. Kids.
Again, Mo slips. Dustfinger grabs his arm, but the tile slips, breaking below, alerting the guards. They jump from roof to roof as the guards assemble below. Dustfinger and Fareed duck into an alcove as Mo enters the kitchens. A maid cooks inside. Mo hurries along a corridor and looks into a bedroom. Stepping inside, he sees dozens of sketches on the wall. He picks up a hairbrush from the table. Under the pillow, he finds a binder and a sketchbook. It's filled with drawings of Mo, Risa and Maggie. Fareed is trying out the dragon's breath on his hands.
I think I got it. If you mind.
This has been too long. I'm going to see if he's all right.
Come on. They shrink back into the alcove as Cockrell leads some guards past.
Well done. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Fareed bows, a bottle falls from his bag, smashing. Cockrell and the guards reappear, alerted by the noise.
Look who's back.
She's nice.
Just in time for your execution.
Dustfinger kicks a guard, allowing Fareed to escape over a wall.
Oh, all right.
Capricorn's castle is like a five-star hotel. Not for you, obviously. You'll be locked in the crypt. But some of our guests get a room with a view.
Hanging from a net, Risa grabs Dustfinger's hair.
Risa, sorry. Listen. Your husband's here. He's come to rescue you.
She watches as Dustfinger is pushed through the courtyard, leaving her suspended in the air. Fareed watches two guards pass underneath his hiding spot on a bridge. He drops down and scurries away. The guards give chase. He stops outside a door opening. Mo grabs him, pulling him inside as the guards run past.
No!
What happened?
They're going to kill Dustfinger. They're going to kill him and it's my fault.
No, it's not. Just tell me what happened.
Fenolia and Maggie are escorted to the castle.
They hold the letters of the alphabet. It looks just like my book. It's like walking into my own imagination.
I wonder what Capricorn's going to make you read. I hope it's something good. I'm excited, I am. Are you?
What raft, Jim? Our old raft. You mean to say our old raft wasn't smashed all to flinders?
As Maggie reads from Huck Finn, a raft appears in the room. The guards cheer. Capricorn stands up from his seat. He reaches for a glass slipper sitting on a cushion.
I'm convinced
though I don't know what that poor boy is going to do without his raft.
I'm tired of doing stupid tricks for you. Tell me where my father is.
I have absolutely no idea. Quite frankly, I don't care, because you read just as well as he does.
Finoglio stares at Capricorn.
What are you gawking at?
You're just as I wrote you. A cowardly thug.
How dare you?
You pay for your filthy story!
Capricorn reaches for a sword set in a large stone, but cannot pull it out.
Only the king can pull it out, don't you remember?
Me. Get that thing away from me. I want it executed with the others.
What, the dog? I want the dog executed.
As for you, you'll see how enamored of your creations you are when the shadow is flaying the skin off your back.
You can't bring it out of the book. You burnt the last copy. I saw you do it.
Wrong. I saved a copy of the book for myself. Aren't I full of surprises?
Mortala opens a dark chest. Inside, hidden under a sea of snakes, lies a purple copy of Inkheart.
I couldn't burn them all, could I? Not with my old friend trapped inside.
Oh, you are gonna love him.
And by love, I mean cower in terror from. You see, I love this world, and I intend to write my name on every page of it. You and the Shadow are going to help me do just that.
I won't read anything for you.
Really? Let me show you what happens to those who disobey me around here. She's been very naughty, this one. Tiresome in the extreme. Always trying to escape. So I'm putting an end to it.
Risa smiles and mouths make his name.
What a touching display of empathy. Mum, look at me. Yes, I can see the resemblance. Do you still think I can't convince you to read for me?
No, Mum! Please!
The guards lead Maggie away. Risa sobs silently, holding on to the side of the net.
Is it too late to make any changes?
Changes?
Just thinking, perhaps you might be able to add a few lines, you know what I mean? I don't need to be some great beauty or anything, it's just, I don't know if you notice my nose, I'd like a nice
one. Oh, your nose, yes, right.
You think you could do that then, you know, rewrite things, change things a bit?
I don't know. It's a wonderful idea.
Move. What are you doing? Get off me.
You can't go down there.
They have my daughter.
I'll kill her if you do anything stupid.
I should never have left her alone, I thought you'd...
We have to stay hidden.
Maggie and Finoglio are led into the dungeons. The prisoners listen to the sound of approaching footsteps. Dustfinger appears through the metal carvings in the next cell.
I've seen my mum. She's a prisoner here.
I know.
Have you seen my dad?
Yeah, he's fine.
Capricorn's got another copy of the book. He's gonna make me read the shadow out of it. I have Mo's gift. I can do it.
Well, then you could read me back.
One moonlit night, the shadow turned on his despicable...
can kill Capricorn. Make the shadow come out.
Food for the little princess.
Bastor slides food inside.
Capricorn wants you to have your strength for tonight.
You should stay. We're telling ghost stories.
Oh, that's right. You don't like ghost stories, do you?
I'll give you ghost stories, you lot.
Gwyn leaps onto Bastor, grabbing a small bag hung around Bastor's neck in its teeth. Biting it free, he scampers over to Dustfinger.
You don't have your good luck charm to protect you.
Give me that back!
Why don't you come in and get it?
What are you doing?
Someone's got to get us out of here, and I don't think it's going to be the writer.
You give that back to me.
You be careful.
Maybe I don't need my good luck. Time to finish what we started.
Dustfinger pulls a lid off a coffin, scaring Bastor.
There's bones of a dead man in this coffin, I curse you. Don't you say that! Step back!
May his spirit haunt your every step!
You take it away!
His mother!
Meggy hits him with a bone. Dustfinger whips around the coffin, locking Bastor in. Dustfinger climbs the dungeon stairs and steps out into the daylight. He ducks behind a wall out of sight of the guards.
The prisoners are escaping! Help!
Meggy holds the cell door looking forlorn. Outside, Dustfinger runs out from his hiding spot, down the maze of alleys. He slides down the side of the castle wall. Gwyn follows behind. Exhausted, he slows as he crosses a stone bridge. He looks up at the sky and then turns his head back towards the castle. He turns back. Elsewhere, Eleanor is on a motorbike.
Despite possibly the most stupid thing you've ever done in your life, Eleanor. I mean, there are a bunch of murderers, thugs up there. What do you think you're going to do? Just walk in and tell them what to do? Very likely to listen to you, aren't they? Silly old bookworm with your head in the clouds.
She races along the road, her scarf billowing in the wind. Mo yanks Dustfinger out of sight of the guards.
Right.
Thank you.
You're alive.
Thank you. All right. All right, that's enough.
Did you find them?
Yeah?
Reese, thank you. How are they?
They're fine.
Good.
For now. But Capricorn has a copy of the book.
You what?
He kept one secretly. That was always his plan, to have the shadow read out of the book.
I can't read the shadow out. That would kill us all.
He doesn't need you anymore. He found someone else. Maggie.
Maggie?
Farid looks pensive. In the cell, Fenelio ponders what to write.
Having writer's block. Maybe I can help.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You want to be a writer, don't you?
You say that as if it's a bad thing.
No. Just a lonely thing. Sometimes the world you create on the page seems more friendly and alive than the world you actually live in.
And you wish you could be there instead?
You're a clever girl, Maggie. I couldn't have hoped for a finer young lady to be shut up in a crypt with. Whilst awaiting my execution. Now, I haven't really got what I need yet. But it's very close.
Gosh, they're early. Why are they early? It's the most inconvenient. Put one here somewhere.
The words have to be perfect or it won't work. They have to be written by a writer. It has to sound like Inkheart. Aha, here it is.
They hide the piece of paper.
Here, what is?
Something for her to remember me by after I'm gone.
Oh. I don't think much of your crude scribblings, old man.
Well, you are my crude scribblings, Magpie, so I'll be careful what I scrumble up if I were you. Where are you taking her?
To put on a party frock. Oh, don't worry, you're invited to the feast as well. We wouldn't eat without you. In fact, you're the main course. The Shadow will be feeding on you and that maid later tonight. So rest assured, somebody will be back to fetch you.
You wanted to be alone, didn't you? Well, here you are. Alone in the wilderness. Mosquito bites and blisters. Oh, God. And do you have a plan? No. No plan. Just rent a motorbike. Find a map. We'll figure it out when we get there.
Farid rubs his hands, heating up the dragon's breath.
This is the plan.
Good.
You use your fire and create a distraction.
I can set fire to the castle.
I can help too.
Get in my way.
When Capricorn's men try to put the fire out, I move in, I rescue Maggie and Risa.
But we're outnumbered, and they have these
guns.
That's why we disguise ourselves as black jackets. Let's go.
Well, come on in.
Nighttime. Capricorn watches the preparations in the courtyard.
This really is a beautiful little village. But it'll be nice to have something a bit bigger. Stretch out. Expand my kingdom's borders. That's why I need the Shadow, and I don't want anyone else escaping.
Maggie is being dressed by Mortala in a long flowing white gown.
If you don't stop shaking, I'm gonna stick you with a pin.
Mo and the others try to blend in wearing black clothes and hoods.
Honestly, expect me to read an entire army out of this book.
Do you have a better idea? Don't mark.
The castle at night. Spotlights shine on the cloudy sky overhead. The guards clap and cheer as frightened Maggie is led out into the large courtyard.
Get a move on. Run!
Yes!
Come on!
Mortala nudges her forward. The crowd of guards jeer and poke at her. One guard films her arrival on a camera. Up ahead, Maggie spots Fenolio and her mother in a cage.
Go on.
Her mother waves at Maggie. Dressed in black, Capricorn rises from his seat as Maggie approaches.
Forward.
Don't try anything funny, or you'll never see your mother alive again. Please.
The time has come to be reunited with our old friend.
Mo creeps out over a tiled roof, avoiding the spotlight above him. Elsewhere, Dustfinger and Farid approach two guards.
Oi!
They get hit with a shovel and petrol canister. Dustfinger fills the canister with petrol.
What time up then?
Good evening. Do you want to get out of here?
Darius nods. Together, Eleanor and Darius open the fictional animal cages. Mortala brings Inkheart up to Maggie, who is standing next to a plinth, shaped like an eagle. Mo creeps over a nearby roof to get a better vantage point. Maggie takes a book and reluctantly opens it. Her mother looked on. Farad finishes tying up the unconscious guards.
You're very good at that. Doesn't mean we're friends or anything.
Maggie looks up and notices her father jumping onto a ledge. He pulls himself up as the crowd bay at Maggie.
I got hit.
Capricorn led an army of brutal men who struck fear in the hearts and minds of all those they came in contact with. Whenever they passed by,
Risa,
people closed their doors and hid with their children.
Dustfinger opens the petrol canister. He and Farid liberally slosh the liquid out along the corridors of the castle.
But of all the villains lurking in the Wayless Wood, the one most feared and reviled was known simply as the Shadow.
Finolio palms the piece of paper.
Made from the ashes of Capricorn's victims, the Shadow was immortal and invulnerable, and as pitiless as his master.
He drops the paper and Toto runs out of the cage after it.
His fingers and even his breath brought death, scenting his way like a hound on the trail.
Toto runs through the crowd, the paper in his mouth. Farid and Dustfinger rub their hands, igniting the flame. They blow the fire along the walls of the castle, setting the curtains and pictures alight as they walk.
He appears only when Capricorn calls him, rising from the ground, a faceless and fiery beast,
oh no,
and
stop
always
me.
Eager
stop,
to
stop
consume
it.
His next victim.
Stop reading, lady.
Lady, stop reading!
Black smoke forms near the castle. The guards rise from their seats and cheer as the smoke flows up the walls and high above the courtyard. Maggie watches, terrified, as the smoke takes form. Glowing amber eyes and a mouth twist out of the vapour. Huge winged arms reach out. The Shadow throws its head back and roars into the night sky. Maggie steadies herself against the plinth. Capricorn stares in wonderment at the enormous beast. The cameraman films Capricorn smiling and gesturing at the Shadow.
Feast.
Maggie calls out to her mother. Toto spots Maggie and trots over.
Toto! Good boy!
She takes a piece of paper and opens it up. The Shadow lunges down towards the cage.
Feast.
It swipes, slashing through the wire mesh. Mo runs into the courtyard as Maggie reads from the paper.
Yet one starlit night, the Shadow heard a different voice.
What's she saying?
The voice of a girl, and when she called his name, he remembered.
Look!
He remembered all those from whose ashes he was made, all the pain and grief. The Shadow remembered he was determined to take revenge. Revenge on those whose cruelty was the cause of all this misfortune.
Make her stop.
The Shadow went to his master and reached out to him with ashes.
The Shadow growls at Capricorn. It reaches out a claw, causing him to fall back.
That's not the book.
Those aren't the real words.
Stop her.
Somebody
stop her. Reading! Stop her!
Maggie, watch out!
Mo smashes into Capricorn, knocking a knife from his hand. Mortalus snatches the paper away from Maggie. The Shadow rears back, confused.
What a pleasant turn of events! Silver tongue, just in time
for dinner!
Mo is thrown off the stage. The others continue setting fire to the castle. The warning bell sounds, causing Capricorn to turn.
No! Not my castle!
Eleanor astride the unicorn, tears into the courtyard holding a staff. Behind her, the Minotaur butts guards out of its way. The flying monkeys jump and fly around, creating chaos.
Get out of my way!
Using the distraction, Mo reaches the cage. Toto bites down on Bastard's leg, tearing through the trousers. The monkeys grab hold of the guards, lifting them into the air. Mo throws Meggy a pen.
Well.
She starts to write on her arm, then reads it out.
Shadow reached out to him with ashen hands. And as it did, Capricorn began to crackle and fade like the old page of a book, growing transparent and thin as paper.
Capricorn jumps onto Mo, pushing him down.
Shadow's gaze, who committed villainy in Capricorn's name, and then they blew away, like ashes in the wind.
Capricorn reaches to his face, now turned to paper. His hands crumble into dust. One by one, the terrified guards are now turned into dust and pulled into the form of the Shadow. Capricorn emits a muted scream before decaying into grey dust in front of Meggie. Risa jumps down from the cage and embraces Mo. The dusty form of Capricorn is sucked into the Shadow's glowing mouth. The Shadow roars, turning in on itself. With a final cry, it rolls upwards a smoky black column, and then disappears completely.
It's Meggie. She's reading.
They're going back into their books. I'm gonna miss it!
I don't want to go back into my stinking book.
And all those who have been summoned against their will, who were in sight of the girl, were set free, and set right, and sent back from whence they came.
The animals disappear, and the writing on Reese's face vanishes.
Mo. Mo! Toto?
And Meggie! Please, set me free!
And the old creator finally got his wish. Disappearing into the world he had only dreamed about.
She waves goodbye as Fenolio fades away.
And then finally, after what seemed almost a lifetime of wishing, the young girl finally got her most heartfelt dream. While the mother she knew she'd see again and the father she cherished, Meggie, came running to embrace her.
Meggie hugs her mother. Mo wraps his arms around them both. Dustfinger backs away into the shadows, looking downcast. Farid dashes out onto the wall.
What happened?
I missed it. They're all gone. I got here too late to go home. They'll never read me back in now.
He said he'd try, after he got his wife back.
Well, he won't. He'd never risk losing her again. And I wouldn't make it.
Stop it, Eleanor. So silly to cry at happy endings.
Come here.
Oh! Eleanor rushes in to embrace her family. Farid looks on.
Dustfinger?
Let's go. Come on, it's time to go.
Meggie, quickly, come on.
Meggie.
The book's gone.
It doesn't matter, we don't need it.
Great, now I'm going to have nightmares for weeks.
Come on.
Come on.
You're all right.
They exit the courtyard and run down the streets, Eleanor and Darius following. Behind them, the flaming castle collapses. Dustfinger stands, arms crossed, on the stone bridge, staring down at the water below. Smoke from the castle rises in the distance.
You were going to leave without me?
Oh, no. You're better off with them.
Well, if you're going, you should probably bring this with you.
Farid holds out the copy of Inkheart. Dustfinger takes it and looks through the pages.
You stole this?
I learned from the best. I thought maybe we could find someone. Another reader. Someone who could send you back.
What about that girl? You like her, don't you? You come with me, you may never see her again.
I stole a photo from Silver Tongue's pocket.
Well, if I'm gonna be saddled with you, you can make yourself useful. We got a long walk ahead of us.
Dustfinger!
Mo runs through the woods, catching up with the pair.
Dustfinger!
I promised. It's your turn now.
Ready?
Quickly, Dustfinger hands Mo the book. Mo smiles knowingly at Farid.
Are you sure you want to do this? I mean, you remember what happens at the end of the book.
It's like I told the writer. He doesn't control me. My fate's in my own hands now. Good luck.
Hey, don't take this the wrong way, but don't come back, okay? It had been many years since Dustfinger had set eyes on the rolling meadows and the old mill. But it was even more beautiful than he remembered. The butterflies flitted above the grass.
Yellow fields of corn. Dustfinger sits up in the middle of a field. He stands as a hummingbird hovers close by. The hummingbird suddenly appears in the wood next to Mo, before resting on a flower. Risa and Maggie rush to join Mo.
He's gone back.
Where he wants to be.
What about you?
I can't follow him. Because I've kept Gwyn behind, the end of his story will be different. He's not going to die.
You can stay with us. It was Mum's idea.
Sorry, shouldn't I have said that?
Just don't expect me to read you back.
You can teach me to read?
Yeah. Maybe.
I can teach you dragon's breath.
In the world of Inkheart, Dustfinger smiles and opens his arms. He sets off down the field. At the bottom, a cottage sits. Smoke billows gently out of the chimney. He stops as he sees a woman collecting flowers in a red dress. Dustfinger gasps and runs towards his wife, calling out her name. She turns, hearing her name, and runs into Dustfinger's arms. The end.